ಶ್ರೀರೂಪ ಮಂಜರಿ ಪದ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಸಂಪದ 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 ಸೇ ಮೋರ ವಾಜನ ಪೂಜನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ವಾಜನ ಪೂಜನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಭಜನ ಪೂಜನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಭಜನ ಪೂಜನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಧನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಆಭರಣ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಧನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಆವರಣ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಜೀವನೇ ಜೀವನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಜೀವನ ಜೀವನ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ರಸ ನಿಧಿ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ವಂಶ ಸಿಧಿ 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 ಸೇ ಮೋರ ವೇದರ ಧರ್ಮ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ವೇದರ ಧರ್ಮ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ಧರ್ಮ ಸೇ ಮೋರ ವೇದರ ಧರ್ಮ ಅನುಕೂಲ ಹವೆ ವಿಧಿ ಸೆ ಪದೆ ಹೈವೆ ಸಿಧಿ ಅನುಕೂಲ ಹವೆ ವಿಧಿ ಸೇ ಪದ ಹವೆ ಸಿಧಿ ನಿರಖಿವ ದುಯಿ ನಯನ ನಿರಖಿವ ದುಯಿ ನಯನ ನಿರಖಿವ ದುಯಿ ನಯನ ನಿರಖಿವ ದುಯಿ ನಯನ ಸೇ ರೂಪ ಮಧುರಿ ರಾಶಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಕು ಬಳಯ ಶಶಿ ಸೇ ರೂಪ ಮಧುರಿ ರಾಶಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಕು ಬಳಯ ಶಶಿ ಪ್ರಫುಲ್ಲಿತ ಸಿದಿನ ಪ್ರಫುಲ್ಲಿತ ಸಿದಿನ ಪ್ರಫುಲ್ಲಿತ ಹವೇ ಸಿದೀನ ಪ್ರಫುಲ್ಲಿತ ಅಭಿನಿಸಿದೀನ ತುಯಾದಸನ ಅಹಿ ಗರಳೆ ಜರಲೋ ದೇಹಿ ತುಯಾದಸನ ಅಹಿ ಗರಳೆ ಜರಲೋ ದೇಹಿ ಚಿರ ದಿನ ತಪಿತ ಜೀವನ ಚಿರ ದಿನ ತಪಿತ ಜೀವನ ಹೂಪ ಪರ ದಯಾ ದೇಹ ಮೋರೆ ಪದ ಛಾಯಾ ಹೂಪ ಪರ ದಯಾ ರೂಪ ಪರ ದಯಾ ದೀನ ಮೋರೆ ಪದ ಛಾಯಾ ರೂಪ ಪರ ದಯಾ ದೇವ ಮೋರೆ ಪದ ಛಾಯಾ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ಲವಣ ಶರಣ ಶರಣ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ಲೈಲಾ ಶರಣ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ಲೈಲಾ ಶರಣ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ಲೈಲಾ ಶರಣ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪ ಮಂಜರಿ ಪದ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೋರ ಸಂಪದ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪ ಮಂಜರಿ ಪದ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೋರ ಸಂಪದ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪ ಮಂಜರಿ ಪದ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೋರ ಸಂಪದ ತ್ರಿರೂಪ ಮಂಜರಿ ಪದ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೋರ ಸಂಪದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
It is our great desire to make a tape of the different melodies of prarthana, and this devotee is regular singing them, and hopefully will do. Jai Gopal Ji, here each word you could. There is a room which is very good for sitting. We have another very good interpret waiting with his with her art to present to us at a later stage in the seminar.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Hano Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Govardhavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In the previous session we were trying to bring a few quotes which would explain that the holy name can bring us to our to the stage of love of Godhead, where our real identity is revealed to us. We have heard the glories of the holy name from many shlokas, and now there is another verse which is very important in studying this. It is the verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is quoted on page 31 of the Bhajan Rahasya, and it's also in the translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's translation. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Punashodo Nityamukto Pinatvam Nama Namino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. See, since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, and there is no question of its being involved with Maya, Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. In another verse from the Skanda Purana, it is explained that the name has so much power because it is invested by Krishna personally with these powers. And the powers include the potency to avoid auspiciousness, to destroy sin. Normally people get it by charity, penances, austerities, visiting holy tirthas and so on. But it is said that the potency which is in all these other activities is there in the holy name. Whatever potency to avoid auspiciousness and destroy sin may be found in the performance of charity, penances, austerities, visiting holy tirthas, worshipping demigods, performing Rajasuya or Ashwamedha sacrifices, or the attainment of knowledge related to the soul. That potency has been invested in the holy name of Sri Hari. Now the question might be, the name should give love of God, but why after maybe 10 years of chanting or 15 years of chanting, we don't feel this always. This is addressed that there are other things which have deep spiritual effect on us, but if but we don't experience them. It says, for instance, that if one visits the Holy Dham, then one immediately gets devotion. Padma Purana says, O Mathura is very fortunate, as it is most honorable than Vaikuntha. Even residing there for one day gives the devotion of the Lord. We are already for one day here, and not always we are full of prema bhakti. It is also said that if one eats prasadam, there is an immediate effect of easily overcoming all maya. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, being decorated with the garlands, scents and other ornaments offered to you, and by taking your remnants, Krishna, we, your servants, can easily overcome your maya. But we are sometimes feeling maya's cruel whips on our back, and we don't feel we have overcome maya. What is wrong here? Why doesn't it work for us that we reside in the holy dham, eat prasadam and chant? In a heavy fever, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, one cannot accept food. Similarly, by the presence of heavy nam aparats, a person loses taste for hearing, chanting and other devotional practices. Have you ever had a heavy fever? Then you cannot eat anything. Even the most blissful food, even the most nourishing food, like sweet rice with a little camphor in it, it makes you vomit. You don't keep it in the body. In the same way, this aparadas, nam aparads, and also other aparads, make us so feverish that we can't benefit from staying in the Dham, from eating prasadam, and also not from chanting. It is in one shastra, it says, O king of brahmanas, when one offends the holy name of the Lord, it destroys all the virtues of a human being and causes one to see spiritual things in a mundane light. This is exactly what happens when you do nam aparat. You develop a material vision in relationship to the holy name, in relationship to the Dham, in relationship to prasadam, in relationship to devotees. And when you have this material vision, you just cannot enjoy the spiritual activities, a spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. At another stage, it is said that the holy name can be compared with a powerful master. When we offend a master, when a servant offends a master, what will the master do? He will take away his mercy. He will just, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the holy name becomes unsatisfied, dissatisfied with the chanter. And as a result, there is no mercy and no taste. We just can't get any taste. Imagine, just in the Indian context, there is a kind master who has a very, very bad servant who always talks in foul mouth behind his back, who steals things from the kitchen, who does even worse things which we don't wish to. You can imagine yourself. The powerful master will say, oh, I have nothing to do with this servant. If he is very merciful, he will maintain the servant from a distance by giving him a 10 rupee allowance per day. So in the same way, the Holy Name is merciful. He also maintains an offensive chanter, but he only gives him 10 rupees, a little taste. It's not sufficient to really survive in spiritual life. This is when you do aparad. Aparad means you displease the powerful master, and he retracts or takes away his mercy from you. So, what to do? Srila Vishwanath Thakur says, but as the fever becomes lower and its effect lessen, one again gets some taste for food. Similarly, after going through the effects of Naam Aparad for a long time, that means you really suffer, their effects reduce and one again gets some taste for devotion. Nourishing foods such as milk and grains do not nourish the person completely, though his fever has reduced. They nourish him slowly and gradually. They are unable to relieve him from the weakness and fatigue due to fever. In time, however, if medicines and a proper diet are taken properly, then the fever completely goes away. So too, in a devotee doing devotion, taste for hearing, chanting, and other devotional practices gradually arises. Then faith, sadhu sangha, bhajan kriya, anatta nivritti, nishtha, and so on, all these stages that were described follow in sequence. So he says, someone who has done offenses, he should continue taking the medicine of the Holy Name, preferably without doing offenses. This point with offenses, or chanting the holy names free from offenses, is very, very important. Does any one of you have the book, The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, in the luggage? Can you please bring me a copy? Oh, here, you bring it? Oh, no need, it's coming. May I ask you a little bit now, because it's time to involve the audience. What do you consider the most heavy offense in your life? What you always do?
You want us to confess?
Oh, that's a little bit too heavy, isn't it? Maybe it's too, yes, confession is not the right way. Let us ask the question in another way. What do you consider the most hideous of all offenses? I blaspheme the devotees. It is described in blaspheming the devotees, we should not, this does not only hold true to highly advanced devotees, but also to devotees who are in the beginning state of Krishna consciousness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this offense. This offense comes from a material vision towards devotees. Mm-hmm. Yes? What other offenses do you consider heavy? Inattentive chanting. Inattentive chanting is often called the root of all other offenses. Just like a tree grows from a root and produces fruits, the inattention while chanting the holy name produces all the other offenses, it is said. I will deal with this offense a little bit later. What other offenses? Committing sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. What could this mean for a devotee? Could you give an example, please? Typical, normal family member. If I have chanted and developed a feeling called Ravindra Swarup knows the whole word, Seno religionius kima malonitski mafia, something like this. It's a long word which means the pride which comes to those who practice a spiritual path. It's a superior complex, really, superiority complex. You all look with such depressed eyes at me. You know, Maharaj, you do them yourself. I have, reading your expression, you know, a very tender expression, I have thought, I won't mention all the 10 offenses because you know them all. It is described that the offenses come all from the false ego. Now, if you want to dismantle your false ego and therefore the defenses, good, therefore the offenses, good luck, it's very hard. But what you can do, you can go against those immediate plants which grow in the garden of your false ego and root them out. The first, I call this weeding in the garden of chanting. While the neophyte chants the holy name of the Lord to cultivate the creeper of devotional service, weeds might also start to grow. They are classified as follows. Nishidacha, action that are prohibited in the Shastra and which must be strictly avoided by a person who wants to attain perfection. The second is which plant which grows in the garden of false ego is Kutinati. Diplomacy and duplicity, like the propensity to find faults or to pretend to be an important devotee. This happens all the time to someone who gives lectures and is immature like me. While he explains everything, he becomes intoxicated with a feeling that, oh, I'm very superior. Because I know. This is called Kutinati. To pretend to be an important devotee. This behavior satisfies neither the body nor the mind or the soul. It just agitates the mind, but it doesn't satisfy. Jiva Hingsa means killing animals. And do you know that the seed of violence is envy? When I'm envious towards others, that's the subtle body of violence. The attachment to your own reputation is a subtle body of sex, sexual engagement. You know, the envious mentality is a subtle body of violence, of gross violence. Labha means the desire for material gain, puja, striving for popularity and admiration, and pratishta, the desire to become an important person in the material world, and other material desires as well. So, these, Prabhupada says, these unwanted creepers simply present obstacles for the real creeper, the bhakti lata. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the Bhakti Lata creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the Bhakti Lata creeper. But in spite of this, these creepers are called Upashaka or weed. A pure devotee can distinguish between the Bhakti Lata creeper and a mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. Hare Krishna. This is a little recommendation. If you want to rise out of the false ego, you must rise out of Kutinati, that is a diplomatic behavior, Nishidacha, that are activities which are opposite to the rules of Shastra. You must give up enviousness and violence, and you must give up the three, that is striving for labha, profit, for pratishta, that is recognition, and finally puja, to be worshipped. My dear devotees, when you are in the position which I have to be in, that is doing service as a spiritual master, this is very, very, very heavy. I want to confess to you something to relieve you from the tiredness, to just tell you how this works. In the old days, there was a daily Guru Puja going on. There was the pictures of the present initiating spiritual master, and we would not be there during that Guru Puja. We would come a little later for Prabhupada's Guru Puja. So then, but we would pass the table, and by the size of the heap of flowers, which everyone got, we could mathematically figure out how many were offering flowers to us. So when I was going in the beginning, my heap was very small, and I was I'm so small. I was depressed when I compared it with a huge heap of exalted Vaishnavas who were there on the table. Then the heap got bigger, and I became relieved. And then I stopped giving initiation for 5 years because I noticed this is wrong. There is a desire for pratishtha. How can such a person help others? He wants to help mostly himself by receiving worship and attention. This is very, very dangerous, and it happens very easy, and it sneaks into your mind without you wanting it. This desire for recognition and puja is a direct manifestation of false ego, and someone who's has a big false ego needs to do weeding in the garden of false ego. Why? Because it is the false ego, this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it, which is the cause of all the offenses. It is very important to look at it. It's a good adventure to look at it. You will see things which are really, if you look from a neutral position, entertaining. If you look from an involved position, shocking. It's sometimes good to look from a neutral position so that it's not too hard the work which you have to do on your heart. This weeding of the heart for a person who wants to enter advanced stages of Naam Bhajan is extremely important. And if you wish to find these upashakas and work on them, they are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a wonderful purport of Srila Prabhupada, which explains really on this subject. It is just glorious and extremely telling. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 12, text 135, the purport. It is where the cleaning of the Gundicha temple is explained. I want to recommend to you this verse as not now is homework because it's very tense, but as you take notes and you read them again, you can read them this with profit, this purport. This one tip, we will now come. We have now 5 minutes to one, and I think at 1 hour session ends.
Possibly.
Good. Then I will end earlier. Because I have taken a lot of your attention. I want to say something, although I was requested to not say anything. I'm aware that this is very sometimes technical or sometimes very tiring because one has heard things of a similar nature. My teaching style is not very modern. I have nothing to bring you in the left side of listening or the right side of listening. I always forget. You know, it's all information which you get and take on. It's not so much creative thinking on your own. I'm very much aware of this, my dear devotees. I still think for this part, it is necessary to work on this a little bit. Because I will tell some things which are very, very new to many of you. I don't know, at least many of you I know, who I know, I don't know all of you. And we have gone through through many of the difficult things. And tomorrow is only chanting and hearing Prarthana and favorable songs and so on. Please just invest your sympathy in your speaker. I really think it is necessary to go through these step by step. Then only it will make sense what we hear later. The holy name and advanced stages of chanting. Mm-hmm. So we will end here. 3:00. Please be here. Thank you very, very much. And I have some highlights in the next session that you all come again. I will read some letters of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on chanting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Naam Prabhu ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
Jai Jai Sri Ram.